As we continue our series on some of the lesser-known Olympic sports, today we turn our attention to fencing. Last Friday, the United States took home a bronze medal in the women's team épée competition. While sword fighting has been around for thousands of years, fencing, as we know it today, came of age as a sport in the 19th century. The sport is one of the few to have been featured at every modern Olympic Games. Adrian Kolchiska, a former Olympian for Romania, coaches at the Northwest Arkansas Fencing Center in Bentonville. Adrian moved to Northwest Arkansas from Phoenix about a year ago when a local family recruited him to teach here. Adrian has been participating in the sport in one form or another for most of his life.
I started when I was 8 and a half, and I'm 48, almost 49 now, so this is my love since forever. Yeah.
Did your parents get you started in it?
My parents, that's another story. So my background, my parents or my family, they did high performance sport. My dad was a cyclist and he was in the Olympics in the 60s in Rome. My mom was a volleyball player and she was in the national team for 12 years and so on. My uncle, my aunts, yes, my grandma, my grandpa, they were all in high performance sport. So I think I got it from them. Yes.
So have you been to the Olympics yourself?
I did in 92. I was the alternate for our épée team from Romania. And then in 96 and 2000, I was the coach for Romanian team.
Épée is one of the three weapons that athletes can use in the sport of fencing.
Fencing is the generic term. There are actually three weapons: épée, saber, and foil. And they are different, the way they look and the targets and the rules. Pretty much the basics are the same, but by having different targets, they are prepared to, you know, attack and defend in a different way because of the different targets and different rules. What we're doing in this club, we do épée, which is the real weapon, like the musketeer used to do it, to use it back in time. So it's a weapon that you can score with just the tip, poking, and the whole body, it's a target. So from the toe from the and the, to the head, it's everywhere you hit, it's a target. And you also can, if they both hit in the same time, it considers a double and both get the point.
Adrian notes the competitions that are offered vary from one Olympics to the next. For example, there was no men épée team competition and no women's saber team competition in London this year. There were 212 athletes competing in 10 medal events. The field of play is an approximately 46 feet long strip known as a piste, a French word. French has long been the language of fencing since 1573, when Henri Dussin-Didier, a pioneer of the sport, published a manuscript that included most of the terms for the moves still used today. Individual fencing bouts last for three periods of 3 minutes each, or until one fencer has scored 15 hits against his or her opponent. In the team events, teams of three fencers compete against their opponents over a series of 9 3-minute bouts with the aim of accumulating a maximum of 45 hits to win the match. Adrian Kolchiska, a coach at the Northwest Arkansas Fencing Center, explains fencing is a sport where one event can last 12 hours, so athletes need to be well prepared and have good stamina to last that long. Bouts can last even longer if there is a tie.
If on the end of 3 minutes the score is still even, they will the referee will flip the coin and one of them randomly will get the priority and they offer yes 1 more minute for fencing. So in that minute somebody have to score. If nobody scored, the one who got the priority in the beginning is the winner of the bout.
In the Olympics, hits are recorded electronically using wireless technology. Although striking an opponent with your given weapon is the most common way to score, fencers can also earn points through infractions. For example, Adrian explains that if a fencer steps off the piste, the referee will move them 1 yard backward. Athletes begin a bout in the en garde position from the center of the piste, but if someone continues moving backward, either as a punishment from the referee or from an opponent's attack, and the fencer steps off the back of the piste, they will lose a point. A referee oversees each fencing bout, and he is assisted by a video referee and, in the later stages of the competition, two assistant referees who look for rule infringements. Adrian explains that a referee can give you a yellow card, and three of those are equal to one red card, which results in a point for your opponent. Referees can also award a black card.
So if there are many, many, you have many choices to get that one. So if you react disrespectful towards your opponent or towards the referee or towards anybody around, or you hit in your opponent harder than you're supposed to because you got upset or something, or if you swear, or if you do something that you should not do. There, like I said, there are a bunch of reasons that you can get black carded that eliminate you completely from the tournament. So you have to basically leave the venue. Yes, that's a very bad thing if it happens.
Does it happen often?
No, not fortunately, not so often. It's pretty much everybody behave. Yes, if under those circumstances, where everything gets very, you know, boiling because it's a combat sport, they still, you know, keep themselves together. Yes.
Adrian says fencing is a very technical sport with a big book of rules, but you learn those as you go along. As athletes get more skilled, they may be lucky enough to attend a competition and be part of the top eight.
We call finalists in fencing the top eight. So it's different than the other sports. So just getting in the top eight, it's amazing because, like I said, this is the cream of the fencers in the whole world on this competition. And just a few of them are qualified from each country and each continent. So you really got the best ones. So getting in the top eight on each weapon, it's something very, very, very grateful. Yes, it's really good.
Adrian has an obvious passion for fencing and says he could write a book about the many reasons why people can appreciate the sport.
First of all, it's a combat sport, so you can see sword fighting. So that's the first impression for everybody who doesn't have any knowledge about it. So by looking at them, you see swinging weapons to each other and scoring. It's true in the professional way. There are some actions are so fast because not even for an ability eye, you cannot see all the time, you know, all the actions. So that's the reason that sometimes they use a replay action on the, you know, on the monitor just to make sure they judge proper that phrase of arm there. So what are you looking for? You're looking for that combat, activity. And it's pretty much like in martial arts, they try to hit each other and to score each other. It's a very safe sport, so don't get me wrong. It's not, you know, beating up each other. And it's the grace that they use to, you know, to basically control their opponents and to trick them, because pretty much it's like playing chess in a dynamic way. That's pretty much fencing.
More information on the Northwest Arkansas Fencing Club is available at nwafc.org. And if you want to find out more about how this fencing club came to be, as well as the foundation associated with it, tune in to the weekend edition of Ozarks at Large at 9 Sunday morning here on KUAF.